Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome. We're very glad that you can join us on today's show, and today we will again answer pertinent questions to our times and to this magnificent ascension that we have been part of since February of 2005. Paul, we have Paul St. John with us. Paul, welcome. We are delighted that you're here, and thank you very much for helping us today.
My pleasure, Almeen. I'm going to start in with a question that feels quite relevant today and most days, in fact. It's a question about time, and you've mentioned before that linear time has ceased and that we're working on a different and more of a timeless space now. And I was wondering if you could talk about that in light of the feeling that there still seems to be feel like an urgency to a lot of people's lives, and doesn't seem to matter what they're doing. There just seems to still be that urgency that I would expect would only be there if there's still linear time. And if you could speak about that, and then also, I think it would be great for our listeners if they could also hear the process of removing linear time from the body.
Okay. First of all, something very interesting happened early this morning. As you know, we've been opening various libraries, and this morning, a library called the Library of the Umanaga in Nigeria opened up. It actually opened last night around midnight. But this morning, there has been a device given from within the library that I have been putting down on paper as rapidly as I can. It's about two-thirds of the way done. But it is a device that allows one to live basically in total compression of time. And let me just give you an example of what that's like. I think we may have mentioned this on last week's show, but it's like when somebody is in a car accident, how everything is in slow motion, and you may only really have lived that in a minute, but it feels to you like you've got 5 minutes, and you get your seatbelt buckled, you get your child strapped down, you get loose objects out of the way because you can see that there's a crash coming, you hold everybody's heads down, and then you go into your crash, and you're thinking, how could I have done all of that in 1 minute? Because the emergency of this situation basically unhinged the mind and in its control, and you lived in a place of compressed time. Now, masters basically live that way anyway, but there's a device in this library that I am currently working on, and what it is going to be enable us to do is to compress time far, far, far more so that it feels as if we have all the time in the world. We are totally relaxed. At the same time, we will not miss the details because, you know, it's like in those moments of compressed time, every detail is so vivid. You don't miss the details. You get so much done because time psychologically slows down. This is going to create the opportunity to slow it down tremendously. And, you know, now I know that I'm behind on getting my books to the publisher. Just the part that bogs it down is the editing of the book, because I'm continually writing. And when I have two books that I'm still trying to edit, but there's a third book that's already writing itself, you know, because I'm taking dictation or I'm translating or I'm getting transmissions, and there's increased information coming in from the masters and the oracles in the various sacred orders. And I'm the hub for translating that. So, and gathering it together, because we, like this last week, we would have three all over the world in different countries receive the same language or the same symbols or pieces of the same symbol. But somewhere it has to be put together. So I do that. And so it does make it that we tend to be behind on the books. But this will be in a future book. You know, all I can say is if the folks want it ahead of time, that perhaps I can give it to you to scan, and if they want to, they can write to Spiritual Journeys office, and we can, you know, we can send them this time-compressing device from the mystery. It's a symbol. It's a symbol, and you know, I don't know yet what to do with the symbol. By the time I'm done with it, I will have received it. And either, you know, it's something you envision in the front of your forehead or the back of your head, or you just gaze at it at when you start feeling urgent and it compresses time. I don't know. All I know is I'm at the current moment seeing the symbol right in front of me, and I'm trying to copy it as rapidly as I can.
Wow. That will definitely be a handy tool to...
Oh, it'll get rid of the urgency for sure.
That's great.
Yes. And we would get twice as much, well, who knows how many more times, as much accomplished.
Does it also have, does the sense of urgency, however, the fact that we need this device, relate to the, just to getting closer to the advent of Mother's reign on Earth, Mother and Father's reign, and the manifestation of the her palace in the physical, or... I'm just wondering if it relates to that, or if, you know, if it's just us here at Spiritual Journeys experiencing that intensity, or if it's others around.
Now, by it, you mean the feeling of urgency?
Yes. Yes.
Paul, I cannot speak to that because there could be different types of feelings of urgency.
Of course.
But the fact is that normally before one births something big, there is a feeling like that. Yesterday, I had such a profound feeling of walking around like in a dream. This reality seemed so dreamlike. I truly felt as though I was sleepwalking. And at the same time, I had a distinct impression, and I've had this a couple of times before, and one of them was right before Mother called me to this work at the end of January, beginning February of 2005. I felt like life as I knew it was about to change forever. Of course it did, but I had that feeling yesterday. Something big, you know, just, I can feel it, was just about to happen. Things did happen in a large scale last night, but I feel like it's just the beginning.
Okay, well, we'll stay tuned. I'm certainly having that feeling, so we'll see what happens. And then the other part of that question was about removing linear time from the body. Maybe it would be helpful for listeners to hear about that.
The removing of linear time from the body meant that the linear transfer of information had to be removed. And let's take a look at how that is. If a portion of the body knows something, it has to be empathically and telepathically communicated in the language of love and light that Mother has brought into reality immediately and exponentially, so that it doesn't travel linearly up the nervous system. It is telepathically known everywhere. And so, you know, an example of that would be the two massive explosions that took place in the cosmos. One of them was picked up by the NASA satellite and said to be the largest explosion that has ever been recorded. Now, it's billions of light years away. It happened the very same day that we saw it, that Mother actually commanded that two whole galaxies were so non-life enhancing that they could not proceed with the ascension and the purity level of the cosmos. So it was an entire galaxy exploding. There were two of them. We only picked up one because we have a satellite that, saw, as you will, the explosion. The point of the matter is, how could we see something billions of light years away immediately? Because we weren't expecting it. And it was telepathic. If we are expecting life to go a certain way, if we are expecting nervous relay down the nervous system, it will still go that way. You know, because our belief systems keep things very much locked into the old way for us. But somebody that doesn't expect that, you know, those mortal boundaries are exceeded.
Right. And what is a good way to help removing... I remember in one of your classes, you suggested that everyone sit because they were going into eternal time, and this was almost a process that happened through grace. But nonetheless, people had to sit and just let go of those belief systems by literally just sitting and not occupying themselves. That helped get it out of the body.
And that is not so much as how it's gotten rid of, but it's how to put eternal time in its place. Let's take a look at that.
Okay.
Because we're saying that Mother has done the gotten rid of linear time, but we can still keep it hanging in there if we live in a certain way. So that's sort of the next step that you're asking me to explain. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, to live in eternal time is a very specific assemblage point position, meaning it's a very specific way of relating to life. And it is the place where there's a meridian that is a figure eight, that when it is horizontal, you are in linear time. When it is vertical, and its crossover point is in the belly button. When it is vertical, you are in eternal time, and you don't leak energy, and so aging doesn't occur. Because aging occurs when you oppose life. You can only oppose life with thought, and thought takes you out of the moment into the next moment. So it takes you out of the eternal now. So what you do is you're not, the ideal would be to do 5 days or a whole week. You turn everything off, even your music, an occasional movie that has a total eternal time to it, and something like The Weeping Camel that's really documentary, The Winged Migration, these are all documentary that puts you right into nature, but without too much dialogue. Occasionally you can watch one of those, but certainly many of your days should have nothing. No music, nothing. You don't go amongst people. You stock up as much as you can with food. You can walk in nature, but to drive there is a problem. You don't even want to be driving much. You do nothing but be. You just sit. When you're tired, you sleep. And people think, oh, I'll go crazy, you know, I have to have noise, I have to have the chat, you know, I have to have this or that. Actually, it puts you into profound, deep bliss. Now, initially, you'll feel very much tension areas in the body. As some of the body starts to relax, the areas where linear time lingers feels particularly tense. After that time, what you want to do is pretend there's a little mouth over the area, breathe the tension out, breathe it out. Envision the talons of a bird in your flesh there. It's the talons of linear time. And see yourself just move its talons out of your flesh and get it out of there. Breathe out any excess stress. And you do this until, you know, if it, when it's gone, unless you put any of those activities back, because your phones have to be disconnected, your faxes, just pretend you're on holiday in the desert somewhere, and it will bring back this profound bliss. And if you can then just ever so often, 10 minutes a day, just go back there when you are out of it, it will become a way of life as the place of all power. Paul, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Al Mean continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Al Mean is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Al Mean, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back with us, and thank you for joining us today. Paul, what would you like to go on to next?
Well, Al Mean, in the previous section of the of our interview today, you mentioned that, that the writing of the book comes much quicker than you actually are able to get the information published. So I thought it might be nice for our listeners just to get a brief preview of some of the books that will be coming out after Isis, if you'd like to share that.
Yes. And the Isis book is Opening the Doors of Heaven.
Yes.
And it is currently out. Now, the books that have come since Isis, as we explained before, there are 129 sacred libraries on Earth. And the first three to open are the Isis Library book, which is the Opening the Doors of Heaven, currently available. A translation of the plates plus direct revelations of the mother that came through. The second book is Windows into Eternity. And that book, currently I'm editing that book. We hope to have published by the end of 2008. Perhaps we can get it on our electronic books a little earlier than that. But Windows into Eternity. What that book is about is that it is translations out of the holy libraries, which are from the Library of the Dove. The Order of the White Dove was established by the Father and with Mother's assistance in September of 2007. In October, the libraries opened. And immediately I started to receive the information that I needed to translate We got various transmissions in from some of the beings that were involved with that library, and a lot of white magic, incorruptible white magic, to restore it to man once again, because man is currently the only kingdom that doesn't have it of the higher kingdoms. For instance, angels use it to heal a child. So the incorruptible white magic from the Father was in those libraries. And the gods associated with those orders were called, their names, their symbols are given. All of this is in Windows into Eternity, plus a very extraordinary system of runes that was given as well. And so, and runes is a divination system. Why a rune is powerful is the symbols trap, in other words, they containers, the symbols are containers or trap awareness particles in very dense form, so that those awareness particles gravitate. Like, let's say you say, should I go shopping? Those deal with the law of acquisition versus supply and things like that. Those awareness particles that have that program in them will be the rune that will make sure that it is the one that you are confronted with. So in other words, runes are alive in that they contain these awareness particles. And that means that they gravitate to a question where they are applicable. Does that make sense, what I've just said, by the way? I hope to explain a little clearer, but...
It's complex, but it made sense to me.
Okay. So anyway, all of that is in Windows into Eternity. The next book that was written is for that third inner petal, which is the order that is... The libraries are in Eastern Europe in the Caucasus Mountains, but the actual Eastern Europeans with some other nationalities are in Toronto. And the masters there are of the order of the serpent. It's the Kundalini magic. And so the book Secrets of the Ancients deal with the magic of the serpent, but both this book and the previous book, what they do that is so extraordinary. You know, we've had a very infantile concept of what the infinite is. It's some benign being up there that if we're good, you know, rewards. If we're not, it punishes. You know, very infantile. Both these books, and as well, the Isis book, one of the huge contributions to humankind that they give is, in fact, insights into what the cosmos is, how it was created, and what the infinite is in relation to the cosmos. Extraordinary, extraordinary revelations. If we are, in fact, in a situation where, and Paul, I just want to apologize. I have been working with such expanded work in the night. I'm having a hard time speaking, as you can hear. My breathing is different and a hard time formulating concepts and words. So please bear with me and tell me if something is not clear, okay?
Okay,
my listeners out there, you know, we're like a family, and I know that you're used to my being a little different on the phone, but speaking is very difficult for me right now. Example, the cosmos traveled along these massive strings, pathways through deep space, that it would travel around that resembled a cotton ball put under a microscope. It had little clusters of matter, then it had little threads, clusters. The clusters used to be individuated life in other places. The threads were oceans of consciousness, separated by membranes from one another, like a cell upon a cell upon a cell, making a thread. This is what the cosmos moved through. Well, the cosmos moving through that, what it turns out that that is, was the DNA strands of the mother. As she combined DNA strands, life combined with us. The story of how that happens. I mean, what an extraordinary event for us to have a glimpse into life that large. Well, both books, the next one of the Serpent Order, which is The Secrets of the Ancients, as well as the book Windows into Eternity, it deals with how to utilize white magic on Earth today in a way that can absolutely only enhance all life. So at a very small level, it's a how-to-live book with tools. For instance, there are tools given in the Isis book that thin the membrane between levels. If we ask an angel to come and help heal a sick child, it's very hard for that angel to affect physicality. All it can do is create perfection in non-physical realms. There are wheels that Isis has given that will, in fact, thin that so beneficial influence can come through. There are other tools, wheels, that when we study these wheels in and then meditate on them, they change our DNA, metamorphosing us into higher levels of life. In other words, they make it easier for us as humans to shoot right off the top apex of the human condition into kingdoms beyond, such as the God Kingdom. So, incredible tools in all three of these books. Magic is given in all three of the books. But what is so phenomenal is the insights into the big picture and how man relates to the big picture. Because the bigger you can see, the more power you hold. The more power you hold, the more easily you see things. So basically, you're building consciousness.
Wow.
And you know, Paul, I might just want to add this one thing.
Yes.
We've spoken before that there are different ways to release the tyranny of mind.
Yes.
Miracles is one such way, and I think it was our last show where I said why I would prefer that the students do the miracles, so we just do it that way in my classes rather than myself. And the reason is because they discount, mind discounts it. But my way of that is to create images, to create the vision, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for all humankind to see through these books. It starts smaller with Life of Miracles. It goes larger to, into Journey to the Heart of God. And each book, it goes bigger and bigger and bigger so that tyranny of mind can be released and people can effortlessly go into their mastery. And in the place of mastery, linear mind does not run your life.
Wow.
And, you know, there is another book that I'm writing. Those books I finished. You know, I just have to find the time, actually, to edit them. My office has to find the time to type them. Then we also are preparing books that have question and answers like these about things that students want to know. And we're hoping to produce a series of volumes of those just because, I'm not teaching masses so much. I'm teaching those that know with their heart they're supposed to be here. So it's more and more of the masters and less of the masses, and the book deals with general questions that people may want to know, that series of the book of answers. So anyway, I'm busy writing one in conjunction with the Ascended Masters from the Sacred Order of the Serpent Mound. And it has been fascinating. It has only been a month that we've been writing it, approximately that, but it has been fascinating. They wanted to write it with me. So Mother is giving them the revelations that they put together. Masters from Ireland are sending in similar ones. Masters from Canada are sending in similar ones. And we put it all together and the libraries have been opening. We've all been receiving the information from. I just have to put it together into a book. So I've been writing on that every day for many hours.
Wow, that's really exciting. I mean,
and that one doesn't have a name yet because each of my books, Mother has named. And I'm waiting for the name. I just know what goes across the bottom of the cover, which is releasing the secrets of the Order of the Serpent Mount. But I don't know what the title is. I'm waiting.
And the Serpent Mound is in Ohio, right?
The Serpent Mound is in Ohio. But what is so fascinating is that the Serpent Mound in Ohio has very strong connections with so there's a library there. But the sacred library there has connections, for example, with the Eagle Libraries, which is in Chaco Canyon, in New Mexico. And then the Nazca area, which is a high desert area in southern Peru, the Nazca area has two libraries. And it's underneath the geoglyphs of the flower and the baby condor. And so those two libraries, again, they've been opening, and the masters of the Order of the Serpent Mound have been working with those libraries very much so. They've been receiving their writings and so forth.
That's incredible.
Is it time yet for another break?
I
think it
is.
Yes. Okay, we'll be back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer, and in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Al Mean's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We are now heading into our third segment, and we are so happy that you're with us today. Paul, what topic do we have next on the agenda?
Well, I mean, before the break, you were talking about your more recent books, and you mentioned how much help you're getting with writing and revelations and symbols from the masters of these orders that Mother and Father have initiated, and which are around the world and the places that you go to run events. And I just wanted to ask you to speak a little bit more about the nature of these, of the process, I guess, that these masters and the oracles go through to receive these writings. I just find it interesting that, for the most part, my understanding is none of them really sit down and say to themselves, now I'm going to draw a symbol or write 10 pages of writing that's going to open a gate or open a library, and yet that's what they're doing every time they sit down and write something in a previously unknown language. Something incredible happens in the cosmos, and I guess wanted you to talk a little bit about the nature of how that all happens, and just anything you'd like to say on that.
Well, since Mother called me in February of 2005 to, in fact, be the physical key turner for things in physicality, those that work with me for a specific week will, in fact, for that week, become pivot points for cosmic events. Everything has to be anchored into the physical. For example, when a library opens, the minute its information is accessible, something from it must be written in the physical. So we, you know, when in our last Ohio workshop, out of the class of 25 that came together for 5 days, 20 of them were with me for the first time. By the time we left, they were all writing and speaking and hearing something or another in their dreams, in the visions, in actual languages pouring out of their mouth, etc. So they became visionaries because of the work that we did. It is the reward. Because the bigger the responsibility you assume for 1 week, and as long as we walk it with the utmost humility, Mother will guide our steps and tell us exactly what to do. She spoke many times in that week to the class. We get enormous gifts because of the tremendous experiences, left brain releases, and by the end of the week, they are in their mastery. Because of the great miracles we see, because of those things happening, life is never the same for them. So what we have had is that particular group, which I was there a few weeks ago, Mother had me basically call them into a sacred order to be the custodians of specific libraries and bodies of information opening. Well, as such, they have a right to receive revelations that will make this, that will anchor it into the physical. So, an example. As libraries open, some of the class are called for different, they're all masters, but some are called as oracles. When Mother gives that calling, their abilities for specific things are enhanced. And the Oracle of Toronto, or the Oracle in Ireland, or the Oracle in one of the United States orders, for instance, and we're waiting to open others, the people will have to awaken and know that they need to ask me to go there. And when that happens, I will pick up my suitcase and I will go there, and more orders across the world will be established. But currently, we have people from so many nations in those orders. It's just that they come to where the orders are. Some travel from Europe to Ireland and so on. People travel from Italy to Oregon and that sort of thing. However, they will, in the night, be absolutely compelled. They'll wake up at 1 o'clock. They'll see symbols going in front of their face in gold format, or there'll be a being in the room that gives them the symbols. They will be compelled to write. Because of the rapid opening of the libraries, they've had to write it. I have received in the last, I'm going to be really accurate with this, I would estimate that I have received 30 pages every 4 hours from oracles around the world that have been sending writings from the different libraries to me. And sometimes they send the same writing independently of one another from different places in the world. Yesterday I received, let me see, we had 29, we had another 30 from Ireland. I'd say we received maybe 200 pages yesterday from articles of writing and symbols. I don't have to translate all of it. Some of it I do have to translate. But just the fact that they get it will anchor that library into the physical, making it available for humankind, or open it. So they're doing incredible tasks.
Yes, and I have the sense that even though a lot of them don't understand what it is they're writing, they have the strong sense that it's very important.
It's compelling. I mean, I have set up, I remember flying back from Ohio, there were 600 gods that Mother had me call their names of. I wrote down some of them and their sigils, their symbols, if you will, so that they can be available for others to call on, because when you have a being's sigil, it's like having their phone number. They must come. So I wrote down, I think, 50 of them, so that others, but 600 of them, I couldn't speak, I couldn't eat, I couldn't anything, in my head, over and over and over, the names. This morning, 50. Yesterday, 3 times, I called another 50. Because some of the libraries don't have guardians. And when they open, Mother actually calls some of the Aranatvi gods. And there are some of the Aranatvi gods in the Serpent Mound in Ohio, but mostly they are in the 2 Nazca Peruvian libraries. But the Aranatvi gods, there are many of them. And they have been called by Mother to become guardians of libraries that didn't have keepers. So it's compelling. There really is no choice about it. When those things start coming, if you don't write it, you get a very bad headache.
I see. Yes. I can remember that occurring to you a few times when there was more than one thing to get, and you can really do so many things at once.
And Paul, can you remember, do we need one more break, or are we need one more break, don't we?
Yes, one more commercial break.
Aha, let's do it.
Okay.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
welcome back. And we're going to jump right in here because I really like the way the questions are going. They're revealing some wonderful things to our listeners, and I hope they are enjoying it as well. Please go right ahead, Paul, and tell me which other areas you want to cover.
Well, I mean, just before the break, you were speaking about the writings of masters coming in from different orders, every order being representative of a library, of a sacred library. And I know that a lot of the writings in these libraries are in languages that, I would say have been unheard of for pretty much everybody. And I thought it would, I've had the wonderful gift of hearing many of the languages spoken in classes and also by yourself. So I was wondering if you could maybe share with the listeners a language from a library that's recently opened.
Okay. Okay, well, for instance, we had them open in the following order. Library 26 was the library of the Umaga in Nigeria. They're about 5 foot tall. They wear white hooded robes. And they have a very bright, a shining light around them. And their language goes like this. Ngabu Gabal Ngava Abu Sakve Ankata Uvavambu Nta Uba Ura. And what that says is, sacred libraries, we the keepers have been, much magic do they hold. And let me see, we've got the library of the crane. The custodians there are the Paka. They're about 5 foot 6 inches. They look very much like us, but they've got long white hair. And they sound like this. Kanina wipe utu va nabadi, banu sava etanu he bavi, kira pipa re esta biva pata pira unu he sabitava. Too holy for eyes, it waited for long. Now the moment is here. That which we keep, we do not know. Closed it has been till we give it to you. We're actually coming for the first time to libraries where what they've held, they haven't known. It's like in a time capsule to be released to us. Then we opened the libraries of the leopard. They had no guardians, but there was a language in it. It's in Ethiopia. And all the libraries without the guardians, as I've said, have been assigned Arunatri gods. But the language that was in it says, Ga ba in harunanta, birarat nshra ba u zuat vraha. This land is old. It has stood since the beginning. Pe asrat ginash na us pishatat. The libraries preserve the environment. It's fascinating because when you take a look at the, at the map that I drew of the various deluges that have happened and so on, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you will find that South Africa, which is where the libraries of the White Horse is, as well as Ethiopia, which is where these libraries are, the leopard, thank you. And those two areas were never under water. Those two land masses, portions of Africa have come and gone, they've never been underwater. They're saying it's the libraries that preserved them.
Wow.
And speaking of the White Horse Libraries, Paul, you speak the language of the White Horse Libraries, which is in Southern Africa. It's the Nga language. And perhaps you can just take a minute and speak some of that for the listeners. Talk about putting you on the spot, sweetie.
Okay. Sure, I can do that.
Okay.
Nye cha nye to mba ka nya te mba cha nye na unye da pa.
There
I'm not
we
sure
have
what
it.
I said, though.
Putting Paul on the spot. Well, Not a lot of people do, but that is quite all right.
No, I know.
It puts it into the grid, and
yes.
What you said is the following. The masters of the white horse wait. They shall bring forth a book. The book shall speak of my people.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I'm still playing with the idea of joining you in South Africa at the end. I know you're heading there at the end of June.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Well, let's put our head together on that one, okay?
Yes.
That'd be so wonderful. Well, my brothers and sisters, we will go right on to our next question. We have possibly time for one more good one.
Okay. Let me think about what's a good one. Well, with all these orders of magic just sprouting up like flowers so rapidly, I've been wondering if these orders are going to be replacing the old mystery schools. And if you could speak about what you maybe foresee in that, and what role they might play in the future, that would be great. And I would also be interested in knowing if you feel that some of the old schools, there's not many, I don't think, that are still around, but if you foresee any of them being able to adapt to the new paradigm of life emerging, or if they will just fade away.
Fascinating questions, Paul. Thank you. Indeed, these are good ones. Let's take a look at the Ohio Serpent Mound. The primary thing is the library opens. The Anunnaki and the Westakamanu, which is the ancestors of the Maya, but much taller, but they have the elongated skulls to the back. Those skulls are actually being found around the libraries of Nazca Peru as well, because they're both places. They are the custodians of that library. The guardians of that library are physical masters. Hence, Mother Hand picks a group of 20 new people that don't even know why they're there. They just know they have to be there. They come to the class, and their life is forever altered. And they leave as masters, and we leave as a family. Well, they leave with incredible gifts. Every Sunday night, they're on the phone together. They wanted to write a book that they wanted to help me bring out. So the point is that I'm writing the book. It will be under Spiritual Journeys. But the bottom line is that it will study their information more deeply. So I'm bringing in all this information that's coming out of the libraries. They're helping to transcribe it. Some of them are artists. They're even helping to draw it. We're doing this together. Per their request, that's what they wanted to do. Now, every sentence that I write, according to the words of the Holy Mother, has 144 layers of information. The Westakamanu had a small serpent mound in southern Kentucky, whereas the libraries were in Ohio. That's where they had their mystery school. The mystery school studies what comes out of the libraries. The orders are custodians primarily of the libraries. But the ideal is that they would produce the mystery schools. Let's take the Isis libraries. The Order of the Masters of the White Rose in Ireland that came through a time tunnel near Clonmacnoise in Ireland that Isis herself closed the day after they came through are the ones in charge of the Isis libraries. My brothers and sisters, I have got, there were thousands and thousands of sets of plates speaking about every aspect of planetary history, planetary life, possible planetary revelations. I only translated one set, and there is a small piece from another set that was on a green type of an emerald-like substance that I did. I can sit for the next 100 years and bring that through. But what will make it happen is if the orders take the information that they bring through and I bring through and we compile, anything like that that they study, they will pull through more. Because if they've been given a set of plates, I hardly know what I wrote. Because I was translating it, I'd see the glyphs, which I put down in the book, then I'd see the sounds, which I phonetically put in the book, then I give the complete translation. I hardly know what I write in my books. I had a moment trepidation when Paul asked me what are in the previous books, because I had to rack my name, my brain, to remember. I actually, on a radio show just this morning, couldn't remember the name of the Isis book, Opening the Doors of Heaven. I called it something entirely different, my own book name. See, I'm not the one that has to study it. And so if we can create mystery schools, it has been a matter of finances and logistics. Then they can study what's been brought through. Each word has 144 layers. Excuse me. And so if they study what's brought through, there is so much available that can be done out there. In terms of people bringing information in, I will translate like I just did for you what you said. And then there is information. But it is the study of it that hasn't been done in those other mystery schools. There is no comparison to any existing mystery schools. These are called by the mother and the father themselves. These libraries are prepared from ancient times. Mother has, in fact, gotten rid of many of the libraries that dealt with old illusion, because those cycles of life have been erased like you would erase a drawing off a paper, and those libraries were erased as well. In fact, our Russian oracle's son saw in a vision libraries, the books melting off the shelves. And he didn't have any idea that that was the very day that Mother put in the Book of Life the old libraries be erased.
Wow.
So there is no comparison to any existing order. And there, whether the new mystery schools form or not, you know, people come from all over the world to be in one class. How do they form a mystery school without serious disruption to their lives, and it's financial and family-oriented issues that need to be considered? It can be done, especially places like Ireland, you know, and it absolutely can.
Well, I look forward to being part of that, Almeen, and hopefully many of our listeners today do as well.
Well, Paul, it is masters like yourself that will make it happen. Thank you so very, very much, and my love to all of you. Until next time.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.